Welcome back to the Hardball Gets AFL show. This is the 2-minute warning. Producer Josh here. We have a different feel today. It is lockdown in Perth and the Peel region, so we're doing a remote podcast. Of course, regardless of where it is, the podcast is brought to you by the Mazda BT50. It's the complete package. Let's get straight into it. A massive weekend of footy to dissect, even if we are at home.
Welcome back to the 2-minute warning. Nick Rin, the boss of Channel 7, has literally got Jordan Dugowie type earplugs in and it doesn't work properly. We're in lockdown, hence why the audio might not be as crisp as usual. Good morning, Nick. Good morning, Rhino.
Hey, how are we?
Going well.
I'm not going to go into it, but before this pod, there was a 20-minute debacle in getting Nick Rin to be competent enough to use Zoom. This is a man who's an executive at Channel 7 West, one of the most powerful men in WA media, and he can't use Zoom.
I have to say, look, I'm a Microsoft Teams man in general.
You're a Microsoft fog, that's what you are. Hey, Rhino, I wanted to go buy some pods today, but Nick actually hasn't paid his invoices twice now, so there's two outstanding and about to be three, so...
It's funny you say that. I just sent him one yesterday, and
I did hear that as well, mate, still
waiting on the last one.
Yeah. So what we're going to do, Nick?
Under investigation.
So don't worry about submitting my other two because I'm actually going to start plugging interest on. So don't worry about them. I'll send you a fresh three with interest included. All right.
They're all under investigation currently.
All right. Now I'll let you off the hook, Nick. Now I need to head to you, Rhino. I'm sitting there watching Channel 7 the other morning, and. Nick Nat, not in great touch, Nick Nat, but Nick Nat was on TV and you were on TV.
Uh-huh.
You made an absolute ass of yourself.
You know better than I do that sometimes with your workplace,
yeah. You
are required to do stupid shit.
Yeah, no. You made it look like you were some absolute all-star. You're not. You're a degrader, and I've actually got some audio around this basketball Channel 7 ad. Hit it, Joshy.
Surely he had a better interior game.
He blocked me twice.
Oh, yeah.
One on a three. That layup that they use repeatedly.
Yeah.
Repeatedly. But I don't know, he was bricking every shot. I'm going to clip some stuff up for it.
No, I've asked Ray for the footage because I want to find out.
What about the ones that go in?
No, but I'm sure there's more. Or you know what's even funny? If you're trying too hard.
I definitely was. Now I talk trash a bit too.
Now I know what it is.
Mate, so you're telling me Nick Nat was bricking every shot, mate. That's like, come on, fair go. He's doing a good thing by Channel 7 and you're now potting him.
You asked the great man what happened that day. He could not hit the ocean from a boat with a tiny rock. Honestly, he was terrible. I was on. They cut the footage to make it look like he hit every shot he took.
Mm.
I will stand on this rock, and I will tell you that's the truth. Now, Josh, that's controversial. From now on, I'm just going to assume you're recording every conversation.
Well, mate, sorry. You're one of those snake journalists as it is, so you should expect every conversation's reported because that's what you do for a living. And another one that I need to go with, mate, Rhino, I'm going after you again.
Well, let's just pause for a sec, X, because we've seen the vision. The vision on Channel 7, it's what? One block, and then he drives right past you for an easy layup.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Did they pay you to be enoughy or something?
You wait. I'm going to make a director's cut that's going to have the real vision that nobody's seen yet. It's going to be an expose on what really happened that day.
Yeah. Nick Nat is the shittest basketballer I've ever seen. Like, ever. He's so bad. And the other one, mate.
The only exposed form we've got is a dunk at the Wildcats and destroying Rhino.
Mate, what about two?
These are only, he gets permission over any kind of basketball shot that goes to where Nick Nat has to sign off on.
100, you got the director's cut. And the other one I need to touch on, still bubbling away in the background, is the ABC v Channel 7, Benny Cameron v Ryan Daniels situation that's been going on now. You've been on your high horse appealing to your little fan base to sort of attack Benny Cameron, unknowingly, unwillingly, and undeservingly. Now, I've also got a little snippet of audio regarding the Ben Cameron situation.
Here we go.
Ben Cameron, please respond to allegations that you speak. You've been talking crap out of Ryan Daniels. Ben, answer the question. Please, go on. Say something.
So, yeah, that's pretty conclusive, mate. The rivalry, it's just continuing.
It's just continuing. It, mate, I think without...
There's no rivalry. This is a beat-up. This is a massive beat-up and a stitch-up. He was wrong. Surely. I was right. The people backed that up. There's no rivalry.
Do you think
here.
He likes you?
He was wrong.
Do you think he likes you?
He has the who Ben?
Yeah,
I think he looks up to me.
That is the words of an arrogant journalist if I've ever heard one. No one looks up to a journo, you dick. All right. Enough of that shenanigans.
I think there's one more thing we need to address before we get into it.
So we've done invoices, we've done Nick Nat, we've done Ben Cameron. What else we got there, Nick?
What else you got?
Well, this is a new one today. Are we seeing the blueprint for social video success there in the background? Have you got a whiteboard in your bedroom, Josh?
I saw that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, this is the...
Let's have a look. So is this like... Is this going to be like when accidentally the coaches have their whiteboards and the stuff and then Fox Sports will zoom in? So like other internet sensations like you will be zooming in on that to see your ideas, mate. You've got to be careful with that stuff.
The inspired unemployed are taking a screenshot as we speak.
Did you see them on 60 Minutes last night?
No.
they had like a full 20-minute segment on 60 Minutes last night, inspired unemployed.
Can we move on? Like, this is too upsetting.
Oh, is this a rivalry?
Yeah, mate, massive rivalry.
This is a rivalry.
Wow.
Apparently there might have been a bit of content pinched.
Really?
Not something.
No. There's so much. Sorry, you throw me under the bus. But it's also like they're hyper successful and they're millionaires now, so I can't really compete. I've got a $50 Gumtree whiteboard while they've got 50 grand contracts.
So they were on 60 Minutes last night and they're going great guns. But Josh, you're going great guns as well. I thought the whiteboard might have been for Kama Sutra reasons.
Is that organised with sex?
All right, let's get into it.
Is this a football podcast?
Yeah, it is.
This is a football podcast.
Yeah, it is. All right, so we better get cracking. We're in lockdown. We're going mad. I'm in jail. Actually, I reckon jail would be easier than this right now. I'm stuck at home with no food or grog.
At least your family's not there, are they?
Yeah, well, that's half the issue. I had my first weekend off in 2 years. And if you have kids, you understand what the damage I was going to do. Anyway, I snuck in a big session that 6-hour gap on a Friday night. Shivers me timbers. All right, let's get cracking because I need to clean this house before the missus does get home.
All right, let's go. I've got the Adelaide Crows. They lost yesterday. Somehow they lost that game. I'm still not quite sure how they did it. Good effort by Hawthorn. But I do want to talk about Riley Thrillthorpe because it's really hard to say Thrillthorpe. Yeah. So I reckon Thrillthorpe is the way to go going forward. He looked legit. Like, you can always tell whether it's just, you know, he kicks 4 or 5 goals from, like, you know, gimmies in the goal square or he's playing on a crappy opponent. And look, their back line isn't exactly super strong right now, but it was the way he moved. The way he was sort of able to get around the ground. He looked like a real player. And I liked, you know, often the little tidbits that the commentary offers, sometimes you can give or take. But I did like the fact that he wanted to play ice hockey. You know, I like that. It means he's got a bit of rough and tumble about it. Yeah, he was
– Gordon Bombay.
He played ice hockey because his dad played ice hockey apparently for Australia. Jeez. So he's – I didn't even know we had an ice hockey team in Australia. But
there's 10 that play and 10 that made the team.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, what do you guys think of the Thriller?
Did you see his first touch of the day?
I was he had a couple of shockers at the start, didn't he?
He kicked it into the man on the mark. The man on the mark caught it and went back the other way, goal. Like, he stubbed his toe or something. The poor bloke must have been a little bit nervous. But no, and it was good to see, actually. I watched that game yesterday. It was an absolute cracking game of football.
It was.
It was a ripper.
And at the other end, Cozzy for Hawthorn, another young kid, was doing the exact same.
Don't talk about him. He's coming up later.
So, yeah, but they were both two young lads. You look at teams that have the big key forwards, you know, Richmond or whatever, where you look at Lynch and Riewoldt, and West Coast have got Kennedy, the good team, you know, Charlie Dixon. It was just good to see two young kids. The game was literally riding on what they were going to do, whether they were going to pop up and take the game by the scruff of the neck, and he patches both did. So pick two, I think everyone thought Jamar Hugel?
Hugel Hagen.
Yeah. They thought he was the clear standard. I mean, by the looks of things, Adelaide would have gone Jamar, they definitely got one.
Well, perfect time to bring him in as well because Tex has had this run of form, so everyone's looking at Tex. And you get a kid, like he wasn't starring in the Sandford.
No, he wasn't.
But he obviously was on it now on a second or third tool, had the room to operate, didn't have to worry about him as much, and he comes out and boots five.
Hey, Zach, do you reckon, you know how some players step up when they go up a level? Do you find that young key forwards in particular are pretty good when they're getting better delivery? Is that a thing?
Yes, but be very wary of him playing for Adelaide. I reckon the wheels are slightly going to come off.
Yeah. Brisbane.
Brisbane, so that's me. So the news this morning, Lachie Neale out for 8 weeks with the ankle. So he had a bit of a rough, played a good game for someone who did his ankle and then got busted open. They sit 8-3-3. So this next month, this is going to be the make or break. They've got Port at home, Frio away, Gold Coast away down the road, and then Richmond at home. If no one steps up to sort of fill the Lachie Neale hole, they could almost crash out of the race over this next 4 weeks.
Well, I reckon they've
gone. For whatever reason, I'm not as big on Brisbane this year.
Yeah, I'm with you, mate. I reckon they've gone from a top four to a bottom four simply off the back of Lachie Neale. I know he hasn't done a lot this year, but.
Bottom four, you reckon?
No, bottom four of the eight. Sorry. From one to four to five to eight. I just watching him. The easiest $1.75 you'll ever get in your life on the weekend, though, v Carlton. If you didn't fill your boots there.
People keep backing Carlton for some stupid reason.
Mate, the week before against Carlton, $1.92. This week, $1.75. Yeah. Port and Brisbane. What a joke. But anyway, Jared Lyons, though, like, you got to tip your hat to that guy. He just keeps on keeping on, just tractoring along. He's a bit like a Matt Prittis in the middle. Like, there's no flash or thrills or spills, but does the job so incredibly well. I don't know what their depth is like. But you can't.
I think it's great.
You can't replace a bloke who you penciled in for 30 with someone who's going to get you 20 and go, oh, that was a good game by John Smith. Like, it's a big out, and I think that, yeah, as I said, they're going to go to 5-8. I reckon.
And we know, like, those Jared Berry's beaten up. There's a few of those guys who you might have looked at to take that sort of step who were a bit beaten up already this year.
Yeah.
So I just don't know. Yeah, I don't know who takes it.
So their resi's.
I think Zorko's going to have a bit of responsibility again. Like, he's been playing a lot of half forward. I wouldn't be surprised if they throw Dane Zorko into that role because they know he can do it. And he's capable of doing as good a job as Lachie Neale when he's on. So that's probably the fix. And then you pepper around with some of those other guys. Dev Robinson looked okay on the weekend, but he's still super young. They got like the Reece Matheson types, but we've seen enough to know that they're not game changers.
Their resi's lost by 70 points to Carlton's resi's. And the leading disposal getter was Fullerton. And then Balladin.
Isn't he a ruckman?
Fullerton.
He's
a ruckman, 18 hit-outs.
And then Balladin, who's also a tall.
Yeah, so that's it. And then all the way down, Matheson kicked four and had 18. So maybe that's an in. But, you're going from someone you pencil in 30 to someone you pencil in 15 to 20 and go, and if they kick a goal, you go, oh, well done, you've held your spot.
Imagine getting the ball and looking up and you've got Mitch Robinson and Reece Matheson running at you.
Jeez, I love Mitch Robinson. He's a lunatic. Real lunatic stuff.
He's got the great – was it cut above and below the eye with like five staples in each?
Yeah. No, I love Mitch Robinson. Hasn't he made a career for himself?
It's a long 2 minutes.
That has to be 2 minutes.
Where's Josh?
Josh, we can't – Josh is dead.
I don't think you guys heard it.
Okay. All right.
Go and swimming.
It finished 4 minutes ago, Carlton.
Carlton Football Club.
I was just having a good time chatting.
Yeah, Carlton Footy Club. I don't know. They see you jump on Twitter and their supporters go. And I read Richo from Channel 7, the store gift winner, going, how do I explain this to my son? You know, it's been happening for 20 years. What do you mean? How do you explain it to your son? Like, they're just all round shit and they've been for a long time. But I was looking at Zach Williams on the weekend. I thought he was meant to be a marvellous kick of the football, like a real what separated him from everyone else. His ball drop is as high as you'll ever see, and it's either hit at 1,000 kilometres an hour and lace out, or it is an absolute mongrel punt. Have you been watching Zach Williams, and are you at all surprised by what we're seeing at Carlton?
No.
His delivery inside 50 was horrible.
wasn't
it? Yeah, he's the same player he was at GWS. I always felt that he was a good line breaker. He sort of moved a bit differently to most other players, which is a good thing sometimes, that unorthodox. But I never thought of him as an elite kick. I thought of him as someone who would maybe try every now and then to do the really risky and pull it off, but not be able to pull it off all the time. I just think he's a nice piece. Like, it, to me, he's a similar piece to like a Saad at Carlton, like that sort of herky jerky type. But in terms of being your top five player, I never saw that for him. I know the hype's been there, but it does not mean he's a bad player. I think he's fine. You want him in your team.
He's averaging 20 and four tackles.
Yeah, the hype's not deserved. No.
He's not an 800 a year player.
So I said it might have been this podcast, I'm not sure, but when you were watching GWS and at their prime and Zach Williams came in and out of the side, did you look at it and go, oh, geez, going to struggle this week, the Giants? That's the hooter.
That's the hooter.
So Collingwood yesterday, another loss. Saw Buckley asked the players at one of the breaks whether or not the jumper clash was impacting their ability to hit targets. They said no, apparently. But to me, that's just another sign of the wheels are just falling right off. Now, their next three games at Gold Coast, at the G, North Melbourne, and then Sydney, who are just going at the moment. Now, if they lose two of those or three, I can't see how Buckley stays. But it's set up for them to possibly even win all three of those games, isn't it? When you look at that, Gold Coast in Melbourne, North Melbourne haven't won a game, Sydney and Melbourne, like they could actually win all three of those.
I reckon they'll go 2 and 3 out of that. You can't pencil in that side at the moment to clean skate it. But who's going to make the calls? Obviously, you look at the board's going to be challenged pretty much immediately after Court has been installed as president.
Tom Brown's dad going to run the show?
Is that who it is? Is that the one that they're crying to come in? Tom Brown's dad, is it?
Yeah, that's Jeff Brown is Tom Brown's dad, and he's best mates with Eddie.
Yeah, and then you've obviously got Graham Wright running the show as footy, in charge of footy. He's new. They either got to make a decision. You can't have Buckley coaching out of contract right to the end again. It happened last time, it happened this time. It has to fall down on whether he knew the list was absolutely butchered at the time and whether they sort of consented to it, because this all just falls back on their absolutely torrid time during trade week.
They're second last on the ladder. Second last.
Yeah, going into yesterday, I noted, that was a game between second last and third last, which caught me by surprise.
Yeah, but you do go, right, I'm going to take out – is that the siren? Yeah.
Yeah, the siren's not working too well for us, but we'll keep pushing. We're on to Essendon now?
We'll do it in post. Essendon. So Darcy Parrish obviously was best on ground yesterday in the Anzac Day game. I pulled out his season stats. So across the year, he's averaging 27 disposals, 7 clearances, 5 inside 50s, 12 contested possessions, every single one of them career high. But his average is 7 touches above his best ever season average. So that's what kind of year he's playing. Just using that question from Ross on Twitter, if in the guts is Darcy Parrish's best position, where does that leave Dylan Shield when he comes back?
Traded.
Kind of, that was another one I saw on that list, the list of questions submitted. Off the top of my head, can't remember who sent it in, but like, should they look to trade him?
I have to. Where else is he going to play?
Yeah, I don't know. He's just a slide back, but he's not one who's going to slide back in the rotation, is he? Who's going to take him for the money he's on?
Yeah, no, not sure. I actually have no idea, but it could be potentially a Brisbane Lions. Maybe, we talk about they've lost Lachie Neale and got no depth. Maybe it's something the Brisbane Lions would look at. I remember saying that they probably should have looked at Treloar as well to try and get him up there. But Brisbane need more depth in their midfield. Dylan Shield, he's a good goer. He's a good player. But
he's good.
I reckon Darcy Parrish.
What about Gold Coast?
Yeah, or Gold Coast, something like that.
Yeah,
but it's still not the cream that I reckon the Gold Coast need. They need someone who's going to be their out-and-out best player, where Dylan Shield probably just sit next to Noah Anderson, Tuke Miller, all those sort of guys. He's no better than them.
I'm confused. Why can't we just why can't Essendon just have Parrish and Shield? Why do they have to have one or the other?
They've got the hooter already.
Geez, they're getting quick.
He's compensating for that one that went 8 minutes.
Fremantle. Righto, let's rock and roll with a bit of Fremantle. Way to go. You got $100 in your bank account this week for the Derby. Who is favourites for the Derby, Fremantle or West Coast? You got to, if you had to have your last 100 on it, the odds at the moment are $1.69 West Coast, $2.17 Fremantle. That's come in a fair bit as well. But who was your last dollar going to be on?
Can I take Freo at the line?
No.
Just a bit of a saver.
But you're saying it's a close game. You're saying it's a close game. But gun to the head, who are you tipping?
Fremantle.
Yeah, tipping Fremantle this week.
It's free spins. I'm tipping Fremantle for sure. On the weekend was hard to judge because there's no crowds and all that sort of hoo-ha. But Nat Fyfe's absolutely flying at the moment but can't kick a goal. He could have had games where he's had 30 and 5, 30 and 4. He had five shots on the weekend. He had six the week before. I think he's keeping one goal 12 or one goal 13 throughout the season. Nat Fyfe, under a low-key, absolutely having a baller of a season. Dave Money, we've spoken about 1,000 times, leading the Brownlow tracker. Low-key Nat Fyfe going well.
I think he had the most score involvements of anyone across the round on the weekend, Nat Fyfe. A lot of them were his own behind. But you can tell now, like, he almost has he would want less time when he's going to goal. I think four of his shots, a couple were marks, and then a couple he just had an acre of space running inside 50.
Yeah.
You know, he's got too much time to think it over.
The one thing
I reckon, other than the Bulldogs mids are obviously the informed mids, and we'll talk about Dunkley later, but I reckon Fyfe and Mundy are probably the inform midfield duo in the comp. Like, if you just had to pick two guys, I think it's them along with probably McRae and one of the other Bulldogs. But they're just flying. That's why I'd be picking them, because they're the two inform players out of all the two teams, out of the 44 that will run out there on Sunday. Those two are flying ahead of everybody else.
Siren.
And can you guys hear? Can you hear that?
Yeah.
Right, I'm gonna play that when I see Joshy's arm go up.
Okay. So we're on to Geelong. That's me. Ken, I've got two questions here. One from Kendrick Hatton. Why don't teams show up in Geelong? And two, Twigger 25, how much does Jeremy Cameron improve the Cats? So I think he's right. The home ground advantage in Geelong is extreme. Home ground advantage, it's hard to track what it means, whether it's the environment, whether it's the crowd, whether it's, you know, travelling to Geelong is a bit of a pain in the ass, all that sort of stuff. That's no excuse for what the Eagles dished up on the weekend. That was absolute, you know, I don't think we're allowed to use the words that it
go on,
describe
say
that
it,
performance.
Say it.
Dog
say
shit. Oh. Absolute dog shit. But the other question, how much does Jeremy Cameron improve the Cats? I liked what I saw on the weekend. He didn't have a huge game, but I liked the energy that the other players seemed to get around him, like that sometimes an old tired team just needs an extra ingredient, and I feel like he might be it.
But also, Jeremy Cameron obviously being a really good player in the competition at GWS, not a big crowd. And he said after the game, he got tingles at Geelong.
Yep.
Like, even, what did they fit in, 40 there maybe or something like that? Absolutely going off their knockers. It gives you another lease in life. I think Jeremy Cameron makes him a three-goal better team maybe, because obviously then there's no pressure on Hawkins. Mitch Duncan flies around off the half-forward line. And also that loss down in Geelong, I heard Simo say, you come down here and you lose. That's no drama. A lot of teams lose down here, but it's the way that they lost was absolutely deplorable, Nick.
They got absolutely belted. Did you catch Jeremy Cameron's subtle dig at the Giants? Probably not a dig, but it came across as one.
Yeah.
He had chills. He's never had that before in his career.
Yeah, what happens at the 100,000 at the MCG on grand final day? That would have given you chills for the national anthem.
Was it the prelim against the Doggies?
Bad
that
chills.
That game would give you chills a couple of times, sure.
Bad chills. That hot sweats. They're very, very different.
Yeah. Oh, that was the full palm. That was a don't argue. He's got Coast. Don't argue by Joshy Gale.
Gold Coast.
So obviously Ben Ainsworth is an avid listener of the Hardball Gets AFL show. We put the heat on him. Was it last week?
Yeah.
Well, the week before.
I think we've been putting the heat on him for about 2 years.
Yeah.
Well, that's what we should expect from him. The game he played at the weekend, 20 disposals, three goals, four inside 50s, nine marks.
Yep.
But it was his best game for the Gold Coast, but that's the level he should be at. That's the level of talent he has, and that's the role he's playing. I went back and tried to find out. I thought surely he would have kicked more at some point. He kicked 4 goals in round 6 of his first year.
Yeah.
And he's never sort of reached 4 again. So that was like, that's the perfect Ben Ainsworth game.
I'll die on this mountain. Gold Coast should not be playing any night games. We say it affects King, but it also affects, you know, classy small forwards as well who need a little bit of clean play to get them open. Like, scrub kick up the ground, fumble up the ground, then eventually makes it inside 50 and there's 16 people down there. Like, it also is a tough gig for him. He played really well. I agree. That is his that's his trademark now that he needs to sort of live up to, because he does get a lot of applause for probably not a lot of output, Ainsworth, and he's sort of got jumped a little bit. But I think that there, if he plays that role, he's back in that All-Australian quality player that we have heard and people talk about.
I think the Suns, by the extra note on the Suns, they're far better when they play on the Gold Coast, aren't they? They're a different side. Like, if you track their performances this year.
Yeah, during the day.
Well, I think the thing is, if they're playing at night, it's crappy footy, but it is an advantage to them because everyone else comes up there and goes, what the hell is this?
Like, yeah, but you're in an arm wrestle, you know, 70 to 39, whereas when it's when it's dry, you actually see some good footy up there.
And that would work better for them if they had an army of Matt DeBoers, but they've got, you know, an army of Silk.
Yeah, well, allegedly Silk. But, you know, they kicked 100 points on the weekend.
Yeah, it meant to be Silky.
You know, they kicked 100. Noah Anderson was huge. Do we not give enough love to Tuk Tuk?
No, we definitely don't.
Workhorse. Yeah. That's very truncated.
GWS, Jesse Hogan. What are they going to do with Jesse Hogan? It's all not really a big investment. The wheels had pretty much fallen off his career, but he's kicked 7 in the last 2 weeks in the VFL. 4 goals.
10 marks at the weekend too?
Yeah, and 8 the week before, I reckon. I think it was 3 goals, 8 marks, 4 goals, 10 marks or something like that. So Jesse Hogan, all of a sudden he slots in. Do we assure him this week?
Yeah, I think he's going to play this week, which should be big for them. The good thing about him is if he were over here, we would have been doing stories for 2-3 weeks, would have been down at the VFL filming him play. Would have been a whole thing, but he just goes about his business quietly. Nobody in Sydney gives two rat's asses whether he's playing or not.
Yeah.
He'll just be there and he can just go about it. And I think that's a good thing for him because he can just play footy. He's in good form. He's not hurt. Just play him. They need him as well. They kind of need another target to help out Himmelberg. So it just makes a lot of sense.
And just quickly, Nick, have you enjoyed – I love what Ash and Cumming do. Are you a fan of those two boys?
Yeah, lucky Ash. Lucky, what do you have, 35 on the weekend?
But he's done that a lot this year. So I'm going to Google it quickly.
He's come on real quick. I know he's a top 10 draft pick and everything, but you expect those sort of halfbackers to take a little bit more time.
It's funny because they already have decided that he's the guy they want the ball in his hands. He's like played 22 games or something like that. That's
his last month.
It shows how highly they think of him.
His last month.
There's a bloke coming back from injury who may take it back off him though.
Whitfield. No, he played Whitfield on the wing though. Play him on the wing. So I reckon you don't. I don't reckon he takes that spot off him. You've got a kid that's showing something. Yeah. Don't take it off him. He's had 24, 28, 18 against Sydney, which was that tight game where no one had the footy. And then 35. Yep. So, 24, 28, 18, 35. He's absolutely flying. And Cumming is also a bloody good kicker of the footy as well.
Yeah, just look at the screen, mate. Couldn't argue.
Yeah. Sorry, my bad. Who's after the Giants?
Hawthorn, that's me. So, you mentioned Cozzy before, Jacob Kaczynski. Hawthorn have been looking for a key forward for a very, very long time, pretty much since Jared Ruffett. Moved into the latter part of his career. Are we thinking that Cozzy is the one? Is he a better prospect than the Lewises and the O'Briens of the past? Is this the guy?
Nick?
No, probably not. He's had a couple of very good games. That one in the preseason, he kicked 6?
Yeah, 6 or 7, yeah.
And then he's kicked 5. Like, he's got enough. But, your long-term key forwards are normally draft. Their qualities, you can see their quality a bit earlier, I suppose. Although he doesn't spend a lot of time up there. Maybe he is. I'm not fully sold yet is what I'm saying.
Yeah, not fully sold. I'm not fully sold on a kid key forward yet at all. But Mitch Lewis and him, I think Tim O'Brien, he's been there for ever in a day.
Young Tim O'Brien.
Young Tim O'Brien, he had kicked 1 goal again on the weekend and he's turning 28. So I reckon
he just needs a couple more years, O'Brien, and then he'll slowly work into it.
But I reckon
they're going to be something.
I reckon now you cut Tim O'Brien or send him back, that, and they did on the weekend for a bit, and just go Cozzy and Mitch Lewis. This is your forward line. Get a bit of get a bit of synergy amongst yourselves, because hopefully you're our forwards for the next 5, 6, 7 years. Because remember Mitchell Lewis? Hey, was it Lewis Mitchell?
Mitchell Lewis. Hey, can we quickly, just before we move on, I should have done this with Adelaide. What the hell were they doing with Tom Lynch?
I don't know. You need to. You're the journo. What actually happened?
I don't know. I think they've basically said they didn't expect him to play. He came in with a sore toe. They were hoping they wouldn't have to use him. But don't you have to assume that the injury is going to come in the first minute of the game?
Yeah.
It was bizarre. He didn't get his shoes. He was getting his boots. He was getting strapped. He didn't have his Guernsey on. He's like looking for his Guernsey. It was like a joke.
It was a shit show. It was the Benny Hill music needed to be played with that warm up stuff.
Yeah.
Have you ever, you know, when you're playing like an amateur basketball game and you're like, you rock up 10 minutes late because you've got the time wrong?
Yeah.
He's like that. He's like trying to get his boots on and playing a man down.
It was bad. Who's after the Hawks?
Melbourne.
Righto, one for you, mate. Do you believe yet? Last week you weren't convinced, now?
Yep. No, they needed to beat a contender. They've beaten one. They beat them in a really impressive way. They were tough. Richmond had a crack and couldn't stay with them. And they got their own issues with obviously Dusty, but I just thought that was a game. I'm convinced they're probably going to win the next 4 or 5 at least. Mm. They're going to be a top 4 team. So can they win the flag? Let's wait.
You'd have
see
to say
September,
yes.
But they
you
are.
Have to say they can win the flag. You have to.
Yeah, if you say there, you can win the flag.
I'd say that they're on the list of teams that can win it, yes. But would they be my favourite? No.
Who's your favourite?
Probably Port Adelaide.
Do you forget what West Coast did to them?
Yeah, I think that was a weird game for them. I think they came to West Coast. They got shocked. You know, West Coast, that was probably their best performance of the season. Actually, it was their best performance of the season. And that West Coast can do that to teams here. So I still like Port slightly more than I like Melbourne. I'm in. I was the last guy to get on. I'm there. Yeah.
And I'm just going to throw out Ben Brown and Sam Wiedemann. Last 2 weeks in the VFL, Brown's kicked 7, Wiedemann's kicked 10 in 2 games.
Bad luck.
Yeah. I don't know. They're going to have to wait for Tom McDonald to get injured.
Yeah. And shout out to Tom McDonald. He's playing some very good football. Yeah. He was incredible on the weekend. And Christian.
Oh, we've always been believers in Tom McDonald, though, clearly.
No way. But Christian Petrarca.
Check our track record.
Petrarca's on a pedestal now. He's the best player in the competition and no one's in his category. Yep. He's by far the best player in the competition.
And Luke Jackson looks fantastic, doesn't
he? Yeah, I agree with that too, mate. They've come together. And Salem off half back. He looks good with his hair and he gets a kick. That's all nice. Steve May, credit to him. Lever, mate, Tomlinson, they are going so well.
Luke Jackson's one of the only players in the comp you can legitimately talk about his basketball background because he didn't stop playing until he was 18.
Yeah. North Melbourne?
Yes,
North Melbourne. All right, now I've actually had an absolute gutful of this poor Phillips kid getting absolutely smashed for being pick 3. The poor bastard, right? Pick 3, yep, granted, high pick. He's had 12 months off footy, so he's virtually coming back off an ACL. We're forgetting Victorians were in lockdown for 12 entire months. We're all flower puffing Logan McDonald, who had a good start to his AFL career. How did Logan McDonald go? He got dropped on the weekend. How did he go in the VFL?
No, I think he was rested, wasn't he?
He had 2 kicks and kicked 1 goal.
He played a half.
Did he play VFL?
He had two kicks.
He played a half.
Yep, so he had 2 kicks. And everyone's bashing this kid, Phillips, who has 12 months off footy. He's in a shit-house team. Let's give the kid another chance. Give him 12 months before we start smacking him over the head, mostly because he's doing your fantasy teams no good.
Oh, it's just a fantasy. It's just Ben Cameron
era. No, but it's everything. Like, I read this kid, like, oh, put pick 3, no good. Oh, they've butchered pick 3 North. They needed to nail pick 3. Yeah, he hasn't shown a great deal yet, but he's 18 or 19, whatever he is. He's had 12 months off.
Yeah, there's a good finish at the weekend. He had a real classy goal, like, where
he's had a couple, he had one a couple of weeks ago in his first or second game. He had a really nice finish from the pocket.
He can play.
I still think Phillips is going to be a nice player. I'm the opposite. I've got investment in him in my keeper fantasy league, so I'm all in on Will Phillips.
You've seen the comments though, comparing what a butchering over Logan McDonald and that sort of stuff.
Yeah, that's stupid. That's stupid. Look, I get it. Like, they need key forwards, but there's plenty of time for North Melbourne to get more guys. They're going to get another chance this year, I guarantee it.
And lastly, how much of a waste is Jack Zeeble? How bad are those games? Another one where it's not doing the team any favours, Jack Zeeble having 37 touches, 32 kicks. Did you see the heat map?
Yeah.
Was it all in the back 50?
No, mate, in 15 metres.
Oh,
yeah, no, geez. And they're going backwards and it is hindering their game.
I like this. This is like a hardball gets time for a beer crossover, isn't
it? Yeah, I know. It's the only button I've got anything on, so it's working.
Port Adelaide, Jake Colvin has sent in a question asking Do we know Jake Colvin?
Yeah, he's a mate of mine.
Jake Colvin was on a few episodes of this podcast back in the day.
He's a Port Adelaide nothing. Yeah.
Well, is Carl Amon underrated? I think yes. I think he's had a really good season. I think he'd be in the All-Australian squad if you did it today. I don't know about the team, but he'd be in the 40. He's had a really good year, and they've won a lot of games, and he's had his own ball on the wing.
If you're doing it properly, like actually properly, the All-Australian team, not just putting Jacko McCrae on a wing where he hasn't played a second, he would be the best wingman?
Yeah, I noticed that he'd been in your team. That's 2 weeks in a row, Zave.
Amon,
is that right?
Yeah, I think so. We had 28 last week and kicked a goal, and then we had 28 at halftime on the weekend. Really.
Yeah, he was fantastic yesterday. He was the best player in the first half when the game was still half a game.
Who won the medal?
Yesterday? I don't know. Is there a Port Adelaide medal?
Yeah, I thought there was a Port Adelaide best on ground. I thought there was.
Was it Ollie?
No, I'm not sure. It would have been Amon, surely. But
why would they get him just because it was on Anzac Day?
Yeah, I don't know.
They always do. They often do it, mate.
Yeah, I had a mate say that there's a medal. Well, Len Hall. Would Len Hall have a medal, the Len Hall game?
Yeah, that's
got a
medal.
Does it?
No, it's got a medal. Yeah.
An absolute bullshit that there was no one there playing the last the bugle and stuff and doing an absolute ceremony. And a ceremony.
You know what?
Weekend.
They missed the chance to bring just one bloke out with a bugle.
Mate, 100,000%. It was absolute bullshit. And like, oh, there was no crowd there. I was like, yeah, but there's still the players who are playing Anzac Day.
Do the bugle. The bloke doing the odes 103 years old, so I wouldn't have brought him out.
No, bring him out. Please, bring him out. It was weak as piss.
Mate, Nick, he's 103. He's not – nothing's killing that bloke.
Yeah, this is true.
Mate, he's resilient as all hell.
He went to war. He went to war, mate. Christ, he could at least bloody flip the coin and the 44 players can line up and respect him and respect the day rather than kick it off like it was a practice game in pre-season. They should have been something on the day, and I don't care what anyone says. They should have done something.
100% agree. We're up to Richmond.
So I think one of the things that was exposed on the weekend, which we've known for a long time, is that Richmond don't have a lot of star power beyond Dusty, and Dusty was held out of the match, so they didn't have anyone to break it open. One of them is Shay Bolton. Shay, did we figure this out yet?
Shay Bolton.
28 on the weekend. We've talked about him before, done a power of work around the clearances. Out of contract, no new deal done. What did Richmond pay to keep him and what would other clubs offer him?
Oh, he's a 750 to me.
I thought that's almost be a starting point if you go to him.
Yeah. Well, let's put it this way. Would you rather have him or Zach Williams?
Bolton in a heartbeat.
Bolton.
Correct. So that's the market. You know, the market value for people trying to pinch a Shy Bolton would be whatever Zach Williams got paid, like as a starting point. Like, That's
how would
what
you feel
if
you get to the table and then, it's like, oh, that's the market. Be like, yeah, but that's Carlton.
Yeah, I know.
You're talking about, X, you're always talking about Gold Coast needing star power. If they got a Shy Bolt,
helps.
My God.
Like, helps big time.
That's exactly what they need. Like, he's the next really outstanding line-breaking mid and he's out of contract. So I think Richmond will keep him. They'll pay what they have to. They know that if they're going to continue this era, then he's going to be a huge part of keeping them relevant.
Who's going to be taking?
It's going to be tough too, though. Like, who are they paying at the moment?
Well,
Lynch.
Let's come back to that though, because Shane Edwards is 32, Basher Hooley's 32. Like, they've got some old Rewald's
age.
Grimes is old. Like, they've got some old players, so maybe they've got some money coming somewhere.
St Kilda.
I posted something on Twitter yesterday about Brad Hill. Did you see that video of him getting burnt?
Yeah.
So absolutely burned.
So that happens, honestly. I tweeted five times a game, and two players not associated with West Coast or Fremantle from and superstars of the competition text me saying, agree wholeheartedly with Brad Hill, and it happens more than five times a game. What is going – he needs to go back to the twos, or he's injured now, whatever, but he needs to go back to the twos. That's so he's out of form, he's out of touch, and I'm not defending his style. He's going shithouse. But he has not been helped at that football club from day one with the style he plays.
We talked about this last year, didn't we? They can fix it.
Can we talk about Ratten just for a little bit? I was talking to Barry today. We were watching, I think it was that game. And remember the time where there was the Teague train and Shaw at North Melbourne?
Yeah, we've seen it from day
one. Interim?
Remember, I couldn't believe it. The person getting the head coaching job was the person sitting in the seat next to the one that got sacked. How is that good for the company?
It's not. And so all three of those guys got hired after being interim coaches and having some success in the short term. And you could definitely say that none of those three situations are currently working out. Obviously, North Melbourne's already moved on. But St Kilda, they just
rabble. Tip your hat for last year, but they are an absolute rabble. That was one out of the box, not they were improving on that. That's now clearly one out of the box.
Interim coaches don't work. Paul Roos did it. I was trying to think of another one off the top of my head. I think it was Terry Wallace. Did he come in as an interim at Bulldogs?
Don't think so.
No, because he got poached, didn't he, from Sydney?
I don't know.
Paul Roos is the one.
Yeah,
it just doesn't work. It doesn't work. It's a sample size that is clouded in something that's doesn't translate.
But you're learning next to someone who's been sacked for what they were doing wasn't good enough.
Yeah.
And also, where is bloody Dan Henabry?
Yeah, that's – we talk about that Brad Hill contract, but far out. The Henabry one is an all-time bust of a contract, all-time. Sydney, Mr. Chitata asks – do we still think Sydney have the best young list? Or I guess what he's saying is the last 2 to 3 weeks we've sort of seen them fall back a little bit. I still love what they've got. I'm not surprised that this has happened. I don't think any of us are surprised that they've fallen off a little bit. We didn't expect them to go through undefeated. But I suppose at the time we talked about Gold Coast and Fremantle as the other two obvious ones with really good young lists. Who do we think has the best at this stage?
I think we were surprised by Sydney, if that makes sense. We were probably surprised by the form of some of their kids. When you're really going pound for pound, Noah Anderson's in that category of kids, and he had 34 on the weekend. Matty Rowe's in that category, who's polled 9 Brownlow votes in 3 games. King, who kicked 5 on the weekend, is on that list. So I don't know. Isaac Rankine had 2 and kicked 18 on the weekend. Maybe we just got a bit caught up in the emotion of being surprised by how good they were going. But quite clearly, the Gold Coast has got the yes young kids, like clearly.
Their kids are a little bit older too. Like you said, they're a year or two advanced from where these Sydney kids are.
Yeah, but hold fire. They're 20. Noah Anderson's 20. Red Knob's 20. What's his name? Matty Rowe is 20. They're 20 years old, so it's not like we're comparing apples and oranges. It's pretty close.
Right, yeah, no, I tend to agree. I think Fremantle's the other one. If you put Brayshaw and Sarong, they're a little bit older as well. Darcy's now emerged into looking like he's clicked in the last couple of weeks. Some of his tap work the other night was brilliant.
The other one is Western Bulldogs probably, I don't know what the numbers are like, but their kids are good. Like Norton's still in that same category because he's at the same rate as Chera, et cetera.
Yeah.
Norton and English, I suppose you put in that category, wouldn't you?
And Norton got knocked the absolute schmacko out of, didn't he? English got kneed in the face by Norton, broken. Looked like he could have snapped his jaw in 3.
Where are we up to?
West Coast.
So we signed from Granger, number one. Can West Coast do anything without Hearn, Govan, McGovern, JK, Yo and Shuey? The answer from exposed evidence on the weekend is probably not.
Absolutely nothing. No way in the world. And it flows back to the hub last year. How good were they in the hub last year, first time round?
Very ordinary.
They were absolutely shit ass. And they come back over your play at home and they were much better. And then, you know, they curled up again, up by 5 goals or 33 points against St Kilda, got rolled up by potentially would have been 3 goals at three-quarter time against the Bullies, where Cripper kicked into the man on the mark on the siren. They've just not surrendered. I don't want to get Joshy to put it.
Well, we talk about those players like on that list, and like they've got a long injury list: Hearn, Kennedy, McGovern, Shuey. If you look at the ages of those guys, this is what tends to happen with older players. And yes, it's all happened at once. It's a bit of bad luck, but this is what happens when you stack the deck with guys that are sort of in the twilight of their career as your best players. Mm. And you're susceptible to soft tissue stuff and little things going wrong here or there. And they're sort of one of those old champion boxers just running on fumes. Like, that's what they are now.
Yeah, but how can they play so well against Port Adelaide? How can they put Port to the sword?
Well, Luke Shuey was best on ground that day. He's not there. Hearn was still playing that day. He's not there. Kennedy was playing that day. He's not there. Like, once the injuries hit and that second tier and third tier is exposed, it's shown for what it is, which is not even mediocre. It's well below that. Their top tier of stars, when they're going, still really good and still can produce what they did against Port at home, but not they can't do that anymore when they don't have the big names, because the second and third tiers are very average.
Yeah, great. Mate,
it's
they don't
mids again, isn't it?
Well, they don't bat deep. They just don't. Like, look at the bottom 10 players on the weekend. They would be average players. We're expecting West Coast to be flag fancies. The bottom 10 teams would be the bottom of the bottom teams anyway. Like, I just think the depth is an issue big time.
Yeah.
Doggies.
West Coast, Western Bulldogs, yeah.
Another weekly little shout out to our little man who went missing in Thailand after the 2016 AFL Grand Final. Tommy Liberatore is going unbelievably well at the moment. And I know we talk about, you know, the top enders. We talk about Treloar. We talk about McRae. We talk about Dunkley. Tommy Liberatore on the weekend, just a quick one for you. 2 goals, 27 disposals. He had 7 clearances, 10 tackles. Tommy Liberatore, and sat on the bench for 36 minutes.
Wow.
Crazy numbers.
It's
Colin Miller
numbers. It's the perfect complement to every other player that they've got. Like, if he doesn't do what he does, none of the other stuff works. He's kind of like the key that sort of unlocks all the other parts. It'd be interesting to see what would happen if he had to miss a couple of games, because I reckon you'd see a significant drop-off. Just he's been great. Dunkley's been excellent. They have to replace
your shoulder.
16 weeks. He needs a full reconstruction. Oh. So that's pretty much the season gone for him, barring a miracle comeback. So what are we expecting them to do there? Is it just a Lipinski comes in? Is it Bailey Smith fits a bit more in the middle? Like, what are we expecting them to do?
Bailey Smith takes that step up into slot number 5 on the 30-plus disposal midfielder.
Yeah, yes. That's sad for Dunkley, because he was at an ordinary year last year, wanted to get traded, withheld the trade, which I thought was interesting yesterday in the call. They were talking about the two players that were picked up by Essendon in those two picks that Western Bulldogs wanted, which was, I think one might have been Cox and Archie Perkins. So Essendon did well not to do that trade, but Dunkley has been incredible.
He has. He was heading for an All-Australian jumper.
How tough, though, to keep going?
Oh,
yeah,
with the crack. Yeah, the thing is, they've got a guy.
There's Lockie Neal too on the weekend with his 8-week ankle, kept playing.
When he did it, it looked like a syndesmosis, Lockie Neal, straight away. Like, straight away, I was like, syndesmosis.
Lipinski was best on in the VFL last week. Ugel Hagen's been kicking goals. So that's the thing. They've got guys who can come in, but they're going to miss Dunkley.
Well,
Ugel
Hagen surely debuts this week with English missing.
Yeah, you think so.
Friday night, footy, Richmond. What a stage for him.
Oh, he looks like he's born for that.
Thursday night footy, we need that back, don't we, ASAP?
Yeah, not happening for like 10 weeks or something. Then it'll run into the Olympics.
Gents, I've got to wrap this one up because Mark McGowan's about to tell us all what we're about to do, so I've got to go.
All right, go on, y'all, sniffer. Go on. Get out of here.
Thank you for listening to the Hard Ball Gets AFL show. 2 minute warning. Thank you for all the questions that were sent in by fans in the lead up to today's episode. And of course, thank you to Mazda and the brand new Mazda BT50. It is the complete package. Two more podcasts coming along this week. We have the Loose Ballers on Wednesday, and then a special guest of the week later in the week with Chris Robertson, part of the Good Chat. Enjoy the rest of the week and good luck in lockdown.